There's a new music business for the 21st century, and now is the best time ever to be in the music business. Because in the new music business, the artist is in charge. My name's Rick Barker, and I've been blessed to make a living in the music business for almost 30 years. I'm a personal manager, author, speaker. Many know me as the manager who launched the career of Taylor Swift. But what I'm most proud of are the thousands of artists from around the world that I manage daily and help navigate this crazy business. This podcast is designed to keep you up to date with the changes in the business and to give you the mindset, tools, and resources that you need to succeed.
Helping you navigate the music industry, here's Rick Barker with the Music Industry Blueprint Podcast.
So joining me today, I am finally in the presence of a Twitch expert. As many of you know, I love live streaming. I've been teaching live streaming for the last 3 years. I've got clients that are doing really well live streaming. And then all of a sudden, when the pandemic came down, a lot of clients started coming to me asking about Twitch, especially my DJ clients. And I had nothing to tell them. All I could do was search the internet. And then, of course, as you know, I spent a lot of time on the Clubhouse app, and Karen Allen came into my world. And not only did she share with us a little bit about what was happening on Twitch, she actually wrote the book on it. Yes, she did write the book. So Karen, tell everyone a little bit about yourself. Tell them a little bit about the book. And then let's dive in to how you're seeing musicians utilize Twitch, which for a long time, everyone just knew as the gamer platform where you could go on and watch people play Minecraft all day. And now all of a sudden you're seeing musicians starting to really start to monetize this platform.
Yeah, for sure. So my book came out a year and a half ago, a full 6 months before COVID hit. And I had been on Twitch and other live stream platforms, honestly, since 2015. I was actually at South by Southwest in 2015 doing a panel on YouNow with one of the top YouNow creators. And Coca-Cola was there and some other like major brands, and had a double packed room, not even in the music side of South by. It was the interactive side of South by. And so I've been talking about this for a long time. This has been a phenomenon that's been near and dear to my heart for a while. I've been in digital music tech startups probably 20 years or so. I have never seen anything as good as live streaming for building a fan base, getting discovered, building a fan base, and making money directly from those fans in ways that are meaningful and fun for fans.
Right.
So that they feel like they are a part of your world and sort of, you know, in your life. It's sort of been the promise of the internet, so to speak, right? And we've had a bunch of other little resources cobbled together to make this experience. But live streaming in particular brings us together in one nice tidy package. And the music category on Twitch, I think, is the best place for indie artists to be right now. That could change in a few years. Who knows?
So why do you say that? So back when you were doing the YouNow at South by Southwest, I was at Playlist Live, and YouNow had a big presence, and everyone was trying. Mm-hmm. What was it? Loafs? Is that what their tipping mechanism was at the time? I'm trying to remember. It was like bread or loafs or coins or
coins. I think it was coins.
Yeah. Everyone has their little stuff. Like Instagram now has badges and so on. So
bars. It was coins and bars.
Coins and bars. Okay.
Yeah.
So. And now Loom is even doing, you know, their stuff right now where people can donate. What made you look at Twitch? Like you said, even pre-COVID, you know, you saw something. What was it that you saw that said, okay, this could be interesting for musicians?
Yeah. So I was kind of knocked up by YouNow right around that time. And I was really curious whether this was just a phenomenon, like a teenager, because most, YouNow is mostly teenagers. Is this a teenage thing? Like Snapchat was mostly a teenage thing. It didn't really track beyond teenagers. Is that what YouNow in live streaming is, or does this really have legs? So I started looking at other live stream platforms, and Twitch, obviously, is the first one I went to. And Twitch is mostly millennials. It's not kids. It's mostly a male, overwhelmingly male, majority millennial. And what I saw working on YouNow was exactly the same thing that I saw working on Twitch.
Okay.
In terms of how,
which was, what was it that you saw that was working?
Basically, it was the gamification of community and the monetization of that gamification That is at the heart what's happening. These are community platforms that come together around content. And every other major social media platform is a content first. It's a content distribution play. And the thing that I really want people to walk away from more than anything with live streaming is this is a community play. This is not a content play. It's a community play. You are now a creator, not just a musician. You are a creator, not just a gamer. And that's really like fundamentally how you need to think when you are doing a live stream, because this is real time, because you are developing a relationship with people in real time, you will do better if you pay attention to what people are saying to you, to others in the chat, how they're responding to you. If you can pick out the gems in that and amplify it back to them, this is how you create relationships with people. When you can create a relationship with someone, it goes much further than a Spotify play or a YouTube view or an Instagram like.
I'm so glad you said that, because what I've tried to explain to people, especially in music, like it or hate it, the consumer does not have to pay to consume your product. They can watch your videos for free, stream your music for free. What they're ultimately going to invest in is the relationship. And when you can use these platforms, like with Facebook Live, saying hello to people and welcoming them and calling them out, and Instagram when you bring them up and then their fans get notified. And you said there's a lot of that that's going on inside of Twitch right now as well, is that they're welcoming people to their community. You said that word multiple times when I heard you talking the other night in the Clubhouse room that I was in. And I think that word slips by a lot of people. It doesn't slip by me.
That's why I keep saying it.
Without the community, you're nothing.
Because that's what it is. Yeah. It's what it is. It is a community. And if you're not the kind of artist who likes hanging out with fans and playing music, then just don't do live streaming. Stick to TikTok, stick to YouTube. You don't have to do this. But if you are kind of that coffee house busker, you know, super friendly, you know, kind of artist, you're going to slay. You're going to absolutely slay at this. Because again, it's a community that is gamified and it's monetized, and Twitch has been at this the longest. So there's been the most features have been built into Twitch at this point, and everything that is built into Twitch feeds into this community dynamic. All the monetization feeds into the community. The life cycle that a fan has with a channel on Twitch is casual observer. Right. Usually they got in there because they followed a raid or they found someone, casual observer, to posting a comment. Observing is free. Posting a comment is free. Maybe requesting a song, throwing a request in for free. These are all free things. As you do that, you get responded to. As you get responded to, you feel a little more ownership in the channel that you're in. You feel more like you're a part of what is going on. You're becoming a part of the community. The more you become a part of the community, the more that you're willing to spend to have more fun. This is the freemium side of it, right? Games are free. The freemium games are always free, but if you want to have more fun, if you want to buy the tool to do the thing in Farmville, that's $5. Right. If you want to buy the emotes to use in the channel, that's $5 a month. And the emotes are very specific. Emotes are like emoji on Twitch. The emotes are very specific to the channel. The channel creator has developed them. They are referential to song lyrics. They're referential to inside jokes. They're referential to expressing yourself in terms of, I love the song. Like all these things you can do with like emoji, you can do with emotes basically. So if you want to use those, that's $5 a month. So now I'm in for $5 a month, right? And then there's virtual currency. I can donate virtual currency, and I could spend the virtual currency on little animations that I can make appear on screen or in the chat, and I can attach a message to that. I can donate to on top of my song request, which pretty much guarantees my song's going to get played.
Sure.
Right. So those are all the things. You go from I am exploring this channel, I am becoming part of the community and join the people on there, do I start spending money? And the next step is you start spending money on other people. So you can actually gift a subscription to other people. specifically, or you can do a community gift subscription, which just kind of randomly assigns it to whoever's in the chat. So you go from being a fan, so you're kind of paying for your own fun, to you see other people coming into the community and you want them to stick around because now you want to support the artist, right? You go from spending on myself to having fun to directly supporting the artist. I'm going to buy gift subs for people in the room because I'm such a huge fan of this artist and I want them to do well. And I want people to come back and to grow this community with this artist. You get such a sense of ownership in the whole thing and you get so invested in it, you know? And I always say, like, the easiest way I can explain this is when people feel they're getting something of value, the natural human response is to give something of value.
Reciprocity.
Right? This is why tips on Spotify don't work. And I didn't ever think it would. No one just wants to give money. You know, and artists don't want to feel like a charity project.
Well, right? And I think
they want to feel valued.
Most bands, because of the way Spotify is set up as a passive listening platform, it's usually going on in the background. It's not like Twitch where you went there specifically. It's not like YouTube where you're physically looking at it and in a position to help someone, or an Instagram Live or a Facebook Live. Spotify is very passive. And with Twitch, what I'm hearing too, and I haven't spent a lot of time in it, because I always felt for myself, if I can't bring value to the platform as far as a creator, I'm not going to spend time in that platform. But watching what happened when people started getting their Instagram account shut down and their Facebook account shut down for doing cover songs and things like that, the DJs were like, okay, where can we go? You know, we're stuck at home just like everyone else during this pandemic. We want to be able, and all I kept hearing people say was go to Twitch, go to Twitch, go to Twitch. Is Twitch not taking down copyrighted material, or are they a little bit more lenient right now, or are they paying?
They are definitely more lenient. Yeah. When it comes to playing copyrighted music, you will get pulled down midstream on Facebook and YouTube. Yep. Instagram is kind of a crapshoot. You may or may not.
Hit or miss, depending on it.
It's very hit or miss on Instagram. Yep. Twitch's stance so far today is that they will not pull your stream down midstream if you're playing copyrighted stuff, although they do reserve the right to suspend your account.
Sure.
If you have your stream set to automatically archive, the archives last for anywhere between 2 weeks and 60 days, depending on your level of streamer, they will mute out all the copyrighted parts that they detect. So they'll run audible magic across it and they'll just mute out wholly every part of the stream.
But not during the live stream, because on an archive, that if you start hearing muted stuff, you're just going to leave to something else. Who wants
100%,
to
100%, yeah.
Wait, and
Twitch isn't really about archives anyway. It's
but
about
during the live event. So how are the publishers and how are the artists getting paid for their someone else utilizing their music? So if I'm a DJ playing music and I don't own that music, I'm using that music, but I'm collecting all the tips that people are giving me, where is it that the creator of the music is actually getting paid, or are they?
So Twitch has a deal with all the PROs. Okay. So they are paying into the PROs, but far as I can tell, there's no attribution in terms of the channels reporting what they played, so that can then be reported into the PROs. So it's just a general black box from what I can tell at this point, and there's no attribution back to it. And the channel creator is the one making all the money.
So let's skip from a DJ who's obviously going to be doing his thing, having fun. I have quite a few of my clients that throw up the lights and it looks like a rave that's going on and they're having a blast, to that singer-songwriter, independent artist that's sitting there at the keyboard or with their guitar. How has original material done on Twitch?
This is what really knocked me out on Twitch. I was on Twitch, the music category on Twitch, as early as like 2015, 2016. And I saw all these artists who I had never heard of. I would go to their socials, very little activity on their socials, generally not anything on Spotify yet. These were what I call native live streamers, meaning this was their first major platform for them. And they were doing great. They were either making a very nice side hustle, or some of them were even full-time. They were doing mostly covers. They would throw an original in every so often, but they are mostly covers. Some of these artists were hobbyists that kind of just started live streaming and made it a thing. Some of them were legit indie artists who had records out and toured or played or, you know, was doing the small time indie thing. So they were a little ahead of the game on that. But by and large, it's a lot of covers, some originals, and it's mostly just playing music and hanging out with people and sort of creating this community around yourself. And that was enough. That was mind blowing to me.
Sure.
You know, because these are people paying for this music, probably had Spotify for free, certainly weren't playing for YouTube, hadn't bought an MP3 in a long time. You know, probably most people aren't really out to discover new artists. They're very much creatures of habit and listening to playlists and not looking for new stuff. And here they were listening to these artists that really had very little else going on, who had made this nice little, you know, this nice little place for themselves on Twitch. And I thought, wow, imagine if more artists knew about this, you know?
Right, right.
So
without the in-app tipping and things like that in the language that Twitch speaks, are you also able to put up a PayPal.me or a Venmo or a Cash App?
You can. I don't recommend it for Twitch users because through a couple of the streamer services companies, one is called Streamlabs and one is called Stream Elements, you can funnel your donations through them.
Okay.
And there's no fee on that aside from the payment processing fee. They don't take a rev share. But what they can do is when you put it through those services, they can create an alert to pop up on your screen and in your chat saying, so-and-so just donated this amount of money.
Great. So you can do that in real time thanking.
Yeah. Because you want to thank people. You want to acknowledge them. Eventually we'll be able to tie that automatically to a song request. Right now it's a very manual process, but there are people working on making the automatic process. But if it goes to PayPal or Venmo, I always say that kind of goes into the ether. Right. Unless you have your PayPal up.
Dinging you, I have people that actually do that. That's one of the things I like. I'm on the beta program for badges and it's really cool because as I do my Instagram lives, I go, oh, Kyle, thanks so much for the badge. And they'll see every time they comment, it shows that they are a badge and people start asking, okay, what's this badge thing? And I'm like, oh, you can do $1, right? $2, $4, you know, $5. I do something with mine where everything that I make goes to Music Cares, as does with the sale of my merch. So they're contributing, but I'm trying to get the consumer to realize that these are jobs. You know, it's like when I go on Clubhouse, I'm not out there promoting myself, but I'm trying to give enough value to where people will want to see, okay, what else is it that this guy has? Hey, let me go get a free copy of his book. And like you giving away a couple chapters of your book and things like that. We're ultimately trying to get people into our ecosystem because ultimately I can't pay my bills on generosity. I can't pay my bills on goodwill. So as we're going in, I say the same things with artists. If you go in and provide some sort of value, at some point, the right person, not all of them, but the right person is going to want to know how they can support you, how they can help you, and things like that. And I think that's what the live streaming platforms have allowed us the ability to find the right audience, serve the right audience, build the relationship with the right audience, where they're like, hey, I know that this equipment isn't free. What can I do to support you? Or I know that recording isn't free. What can I do to support you? And things like that. I think one of the things that's kept people away from Twitch and something that you cover in your book is it's not as easy as just turning on your phone and going live. And it's not as easy as just going to your Chrome browser on Facebook Live and click live video and go live. There is a technical side to this with OBS and things like that, correct?
There is. And that was sort of an awakening for me. I started off streaming on YouNow. And YouNow was one of those services where you literally just click go live off the website.
There you go. Yeah.
And off you go. And you know, I don't have to do anything. It's all in the system, which is awesome. You actually can use OBS to go live to YouNow, but I never did. So when I went to Twitch, I was looking for the go live button and I couldn't find it. And I'm like, and I had to start looking it up. And what I learned from going live on YouNow is that you don't really understand a platform unless you do it. So right. I found someone to do this with. I went out and found an artist who I thought would be amazing for this, and said, let me produce you. Let me figure all this out for you. And the more I got into it, it took me 2 months to figure this out. And I'm good at this. Right. Like, I've been in digital for a long time. I'm
good
at this. You
speak the language, right?
I do. It took me, I have never Googled tech help for so many things in so many different ways. Fortunately, I knew the CEO over at Streamlabs. So we were using the Streamlabs version of OBS. I ended up just emailing him saying, you got to give me a tech guy because we are stuck, you know, and who has that? Who has that resources? Nobody
right.
does.
Right.
So my intention was never in this whole thing to make a book an online course. My intention was just to like get my head around it and figure it out and see what I could do with it. And in doing that, I realized there was a really huge need for a, you know, A to Z. This is how you do it. This is what you do and don't need. Because when you try to figure it out for yourself, you run into, you know, do I need OBS? Should I use, you know, StreamYard now? You can use that. What do I need for overlays? You can really be oversold on the visual overlays that you don't need all those things. There are so many things you could do. You don't know what you should do. And so right. I wanted to write a book and a course that really spoke specifically to artists and explain to them how are they going to bring in everything else they're doing as an artist to their Twitch and then also mine their Twitch for data for everything else. And I wanted to explain to them, you know, what was important to you to use? How are you going to use all these features and which ones should you not use? So that was the whole point of this. And it came out, again, 6 months before COVID hit. And I'd gone to all these conferences and talked to all these people. And if anybody heard of Twitch, it wasn't that gaming site. So it was a lot of, you know, talking to walls, basically. And then once COVID hit, suddenly everyone's like, hey, what's this live streaming thing?
Sure. That's what I was telling somebody the other day. They were like, did you go do okay during COVID? I said, I had my best year ever. I said, having a $97 social media for music program that teaches people how to build, nurture, and monetize online. It's kind of what I've been teaching for the last 3 years. It just now all of a sudden people were like, oh boy, it's one of my artists, which was interesting is they'd had access to all the materials and they were showing up on the coaching calls and just listening, but they were playing four nights a week. And mm-hmm. when that went away, that's 30 years of touring. They're a punk rock band, husband and wife, been doing this for a long time. And they were like, okay, our world has been turned upside down. So they picked a day of the week that they went live on Instagram every week. They picked a day of the week that they went live on Facebook every week. And they went from doing $32 in their merch store and through tips in March to $3,500 to $4,500 a month on average, starting in April, May, June, July. And they had one of their best years ever with no expenses because they weren't having to pay the band to put the gas in the van and do all these things. What kind of success are you seeing from the artists that have been following your systems and really utilizing Twitch for what it can be used for?
Yeah. So one of my earliest guinea pigs when I was writing the book was this band called the Fantastic Plastics. They're kind of like a modern day Devo. They actually do a lot of Devo covers, but they write their own originals. They're super fun. They're very insanely visual. A lot of green screen action going on. They're great. So they streamed with me on a channel I had called In Rotation, which I was just featuring new artists on. And they went on to do their own channel. And they hit partner within about, I want to say, 9 months. Partner is hard to get, by the way, on Twitch. Affiliate is the first level of monetization. You just qualify into that. Partner, Twitch has to really look at your channel and figure out, are you going to be a long-termer with us and contribute positively to the overall system, and then they partner with you. So they may partner in about, I want to say, like 9 months. And it's actually really completely changed how they do everything, even before COVID. They're a local / regional band who did some touring, and that was mostly what they did. And they're pretty much fully Twitch now. They do their own shows on there. And they've now started a talk show on Twitch where they feature other streamers who are doing wacky, original, awesome, cool looking streams. And they, you know, they have said that they have more action on their Instagram, more action on their Spotify. When they release records, it's a bigger deal for them. So that's definitely worked for them. They were early on. I had another guy named Josh Turk, T-A-E-R-K, Josh Turk. Who took my course over the summer kind of got serious about it in the fall and has been streaming pretty seriously since about November. And I just see him going up and up and up and up and up. He's doing probably 50 to 60 concurrents right now, which is really good. And it's completely changed how he's done everything as well.
Sure.
And I see him taking advice that I've given and finding a way to make it unique to himself. Like, the one thing I tell artists to do is figure out what's unique to you, pay attention to your audience, figure out what is the thing that they're responding to and the thing that they're creating on their own, and amplify that back to them. So I see him doing really fun things with channel points. Channel points are like experience points. You don't pay to get them. You earn them by watching, by subscribing and so forth. And then streamers can create any kind of reward they want for channel points. So he has a channel point for telling a story. He used to be on, you know, he was on Billboard, on the Billboard charts. He's you know, played on late night shows. He's kind of a regular, you know, he's more of an established musician. So he has some stories. So if you want to redeem, say, you know, 5,000 experience points, then you get a rock and roll story. So he does things like that, you know, that works. And what is that doing? It's building community.
Sure. And it's easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how long are they? So like the gamers, I've seen them last for hours. Is there like a sticky point when it comes to music? Is something too long? Is something not long enough as far as how long should your streams be?
Yeah. I've rarely seen anybody stream more than 5 hours. That's pretty long. My recommendation, if you want to grow on Twitch, it's 2 to 4 hours per session, 3 to 5 days per week.
How many now?
3 to 5 days per week.
Okay.
2 to 4 hours per session. And the more you do, the more results you're going to see. And the less you do,
the slower. This is more for advanced artists then. It's not for that beginner artist that can barely do 20 minutes on Instagram Live. So this is more like calculus. It's not basic math. I mean, 2 to 4 hours seems like a really long time. There are most artists that don't have that much material.
It flies by. Most artists on Twitch are doing a lot of covers, so you don't need that much in originals. And it's not like a concert where all you're doing is playing music. You're going to play a song. You're going to talk to people. You're going to play a song.
And how long does it take to get up to that point where you have people that are hanging out doing that? Because it's like, if you're in the beginning stages, you've got 5 to 10 people, 2 to 4 hours is a long time. I mean, 20 hours a week of performing.
Mm-hmm.
What is the payoff? What have you seen as the payoff? Because that's a long time for, I mean, I've got people right now doing, you know, $500 to $600 in 45 minute sets on Facebook or Instagram Live. So that 2 to 4 hours, that of course that's going to scare away the hobbyist, but for that person that's serious, that they say, okay, this is me playing 5 shows a week, basically.
Right. I just don't see any point in streaming in less than 2 hours, to be honest, because it's live. It takes a while for people to show up.
Got it. So that's the difference. Okay. So that's what I'm trying to say, because it's like, are people scheduling this thing out? Because if you're just playing live to wait for people to show up, that's where I think most artists, and that's why most artists won't do it, is because that's an awful long time to sit around waiting for folks.
It's not a long time, but the time flies so much. People do schedule their streams on Twitch, and it is known to follow as closely as you can that schedule. People will start out streaming an hour and a half, 2 hours, and next thing they know, they have streamed for 3 hours or 4 hours.
Right.
The people who stream for 3 to 5 hours, you talk to them and they're like, yeah, when I first started off, I could barely do 2. And now I can do 3 or 4, no problem. Because you're not just playing music, because you are hanging out and creating this community around yourself and talking to people. It's not a regular concert, right? It's a hangout. It's a hangout with music. Marina will play for 2 hours. She'll get through 12 songs in those 2 hours.
Okay.
Right. So you normally would do 12 hours in a 45, I mean, 12 songs 12 in, a 45, songs, right. in a 45 right. minute to an hour set. Right.
So, and how big is her audience?
She's actually grown really slowly because she has a baby and she can only do 2 hours, 2 days a week. So we only have 4 hours.
And about how many people are showing up to this event?
We have, between 30 and 40 concurrents.
Got it.
We'll have more with raids for sure. We'll get up to 100 sometimes concurrents. Okay.
Now, when you say raid, so now we're speaking a Twitch language. So
yeah, we are. Raids, this is also why I like Twitch so much. Twitch is really good about creating tools for artists to help other artists, right?
Got it. And you were mentioning that the other night, this big collaboration thing. There's not a lot of competition. It's a lot of community of artists wanting to help each other as well. So explain how the raid works.
As long as you're coming by it honest and not being, you know, gross and follow by follow and genuinely becoming part of people's communities, then people will help you.
Got it.
So a raid is when a streamer ends their stream, they can send all of their concurrent viewers, the current viewers, into another channel all at the same time. So it's kind of like, guys, we're closing the club. Let's go next door. That's what it is. So sometimes the community will pick whoever they're going to raid. Sometimes the streamer has someone in mind they want to raid. The bigger streamers are generally pretty cool about raiding the smaller streamers because they know what that was like to be a small streamer.
So they don't forget where they came from.
They don't forget where they came from. Right. But you also have to be visible to those streamers in order to get raided. You have to figure out which of the streamers that if they were to raid you, their fans would vibe with you enough that they would stick around for at least an hour, right? That's a successful raid. If at least half of their raid sticks around for an hour, that's a successful raid in my eyes. Okay. So what you want to do is go find artists that are similar enough to you in fan base, not necessarily specifically the music, kind of music you do, but their fans would dig you. And go hang out in their streams and become an honest part of their community and be visible to them. Raid them once in a while, even though you only have five people you're raiding with. It's about getting visibility amongst them, right? And then, you know, when they're raiding and when they are streaming and they're ending, you're now on their radar to be someone to raid. And you might get an influx of 300 people all of a sudden. Sure. This is how you grow on Twitch.
So go back to the exploratory days. As we wrap this up, what advice would you give to someone who just wants to go take a look and kind of see what's going on? Do they go in and just search music and it will give you a list of the musicians that are available for you to go check out? Or how do you go in and start doing your research to get that confidence to say, you know what, I can do that. That didn't seem too bad. I mean, the thought of me going and watching somebody for 2 hours, I don't even do 2 hour concerts when I pay to go to concerts. So
it's a whole different vibe, right? So this kind of live streaming is about the hangout.
Right.
It's about sort of the long term.
I've found myself in a clubhouse room for 4 hours. So I know how fast time can fly. So where should they go to go take a look at this? Because what's going to happen is kind of what was happening the other night. And it was starting to piss me off a little bit. As soon as you brought up the amount of time, as soon as you brought up this, people were trying to dismiss you right away. And I'm like, wait a minute. She's sharing something that's working. Just because you're a moron, you'll sit on Clubhouse for 4 hours trying to impress people. And we go look at your socials and your crap and you aren't doing anything. Best way to do some research. And anybody that you say, I would definitely go watch this person stream and follow them because they understand it and they got it going on.
Yeah, well, and for clarity, there are for sure artists making six figures a year doing this.
You know,
if you are over 150 up to 500 concurrents in your streams and you're streaming 20 hours a week, you are in six figures easily and healthily. There are some artists who do 500 to 800 concurrents. So what I would advise, and Twitch has made this very easy now that they've been focusing on music, there is a big music button at the top of the Twitch site. Click on that. That'll send you straight into the music category. And you'll see everybody who's live right now. And then you can actually search by tags. So put in like pop music, indie music, alternative, DJ, metal, hip hop, whatever. And it'll filter based on that.
Okay.
And then just start like jumping into some streams and like seeing what looks interesting to you. In the list of streams, you will see a screenshot of the stream. So you'll see what the streamer is. And then they can put a stream title on there to explain what the stream is all about.
So now, is the dashboard easy to use for the person who's actually performing and things like that, where they can look in and see the comments and see the post and see who's doing things?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, there's a couple different ways of doing that. And you can do it straight from your Twitch creator dashboard, and it kind of keeps track of all of that for you. But everyone is certainly watching the chat, 100%. You can lurk all you want. You're generally, people don't call out lurkers. So you can just hang out and leave quietly, and you know, you're not called out for anything. But just go and hang out and really pay attention to what tools they're using to manage their song requests, to manage their donations, to keep track of who is contributing to their stream in terms of follows, subscriptions, bit donations, whatever. Really watch how the community is interacting with each other. There are three communities on Twitch. Okay. There's the community that you build with your audience. There is the community that the audience is building amongst themselves while watching your chat and have with each other on other channels. And then there's community amongst the creators as themselves. So there's actually three community dynamics at play going on here. And if you're going to be a successful streamer on Twitch, and I would honestly argue on any live stream, dedicated live stream platform, you have to be really cognizant of each one of these communities and feeding each one of these communities, right, and participating in each one of these communities to really grow completely.
So if do you have a way to follow these people or reach out to them on platform outside of just saying their names? Is there a way to, like, you could follow your followers on Instagram and Facebook, obviously, but is there a way for you to do that on Twitch as well?
So the followers, not so much. The one you actually can friend people on Twitch, but Twitch doesn't really do much with that friend feature. Okay.
So it's not that type of, this is actually people in the audience.
Yeah, no, what, you know, the internet finds a way. So yes, the way that there is no really offline way to communicate on Twitch. So what people have done is they've turned to Discord. Discord is an entirely new platform for a lot of people. Discord is a platform full of message board servers. So you make your own message board server. It's free. And in there, you can create all kind of message boards within that. And that kind of becomes the offline way for people to communicate with each other. And the Discords for popular streamers also kind of become the VIP green room. Right? Because only the most ardent fans will join that Discord.
Can you stream your Twitch inside to your Discord? Because I was a guest on Discord and we were doing a live Facebook Live where people could ask us questions, and it was streaming and everything was being interacted. I think this was my first time being introduced to a Discord room. Is there a way?
Yeah, there are live audio channels on Discord. I think they have video now too. But often what happens is, like, for the really successful, especially the gamers who have thousands of concurrent viewers and the chat gets out of control, a lot of their subscribers go into the Discord chat room, basically. There's a message board that's limited just to subscribers, and that's where they do their chat amongst themselves while they're watching on Twitch.
Okay, I'll definitely look into that also.
And that is and then the streamer knows that that's where their subs are. So they actually are watching two chats. They're watching the Twitch chat and they're also watching this Discord thing. But that's only if you have like thousands of followers. If you only have a few hundred in your chat, it's pretty easy to manage. But Discord is a whole thing. There's a whole other episode, right?
It's a whole thing on its own. Now, Discord wasn't around when you wrote the book, right?
It was. Discord's been around for a long time.
Okay. So is that covered in your book as well?
Yeah. Discord is covered in there. Perfect. And there actually is a Discord, actually one or two Discords, just for all the music streamers to talk amongst themselves. Okay. So you should totally join that Discord. There's a couple of them. And then Twitch Music has their own Discord where they talk about issues that are happening around Twitch Music. And then Twitch employees are in there answering questions. So again, this becomes a really powerful place to do your networking off Twitch.
Got it. Which is the whole idea, is to get them off platform, you know, and then work them into your email list. Well, Karen, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time to do this. Inside the notes, I will make sure that people have a link to go check out your book. Also, too, best place for them to follow you is that Instagram, Twitch for Musicians.
Instagram is Twitch for Music.
Music.
Twitter is Twitch for Musicians. Sorry. Instagram.
Is there a website? Because that's always the best place to send people where they can link out
to everything. Musicians.com is full of information. Facebook is Twitch for Musicians. Twitch for Music is Facebook and Instagram. But Twitcher Musicians, you will find all of twitchermusicians.com is where you'll find all of that, plus a bunch of podcasts, plus a bunch of offers. And
cool. And a chance to go grab a couple chapters of your book and a chance to go get the book in general.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, listen, I appreciate it. Like I said, it was great hearing an expert in one of the clubhouse rooms. And I'm like, finally, I can reach out. And I hit you up on Instagram and a message and said, I would love to chat with you. So thank you so much for responding back. And if there's anything I can ever do to serve you and your community, let me know. And we'll keep in touch.
Back at you. Thank you so much, Rick. It's been fantastic.
You got it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast, and thank you for the question. As you see, there is no one-size-fits-all model with the music business, so I do appreciate that. To help you figure out where you are and where you want to get to, head on over to the website, rickbarker.com, and take the Are You Ready for a Manager assessment. While you're there, you can also click on the podcast link and leave a message. And who knows, maybe you'll be featured in an upcoming episode. If you know someone who can benefit from this, I would really love it if you would give it a share, if you would subscribe it onto whatever platform that it is that you're listening to, and I will talk to you on the next episode. Ciao.
You've been listening to the Music Industry Blueprint Podcast with Rick Barker. You can follow Rick on Twitter at Rick Barker Music. And remember, you don't drown by falling into the water, you drown by staying there.